I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. You can tune in here if you want to hear something a little bit different. If you want to get the stories behind the stories, the truth behind the headlines, the lying mainstream media. Now, that one, everybody's with me on that one. Yeah, the media lies. We know the media is absolutely terrible. And then I throw in a little something extra for you there, which is the endless two-party propaganda, the political theater of the day, which we are living in on steroids right now. I dissect this two-party political propaganda that has got us stuck in this equilibrium of hate out in the country right now as the politicians in Washington, D.C. on both sides stoke the fires, the left especially bad. This is Central Mississippi's safe little space here for independent thinkers, beholden to no party, to no politician. We treat politicians as employees and not deities here. This is there are no sacred cows on this show. I go after all of it. I am trying to reach the independent-minded proponent of limited government or the leftist who believes that the government can solve all their problems. And I just beg you to rediscover your independence as a human being and understand that Elizabeth Warren doesn't know you and she doesn't care about you and she can't help you. Now, we'll talk a little bit about this Elizabeth Warren. I have a theory I want to flesh out today. I think there's something we need to keep our eyes on over the next 2 weeks because I suspect, I feel something brewing on the Democratic side of things, so we'll look at it. But for all of you people on the left out there, you know, this is a fairly nonpartisan show. I would imagine there's some people on the left, I know that listen to this station, you can hear them call in to many of the shows. I've had a few of them here, very few, but I try to, as I say, I don't know how many times I've got to say it. There's some liberals out there that I just love. They've got great hearts. They want to fix things like homelessness. They want to fix things like wealth inequality. They want a more fair system, and I'm with you on that. But the government's the reason the thing's unfair in the first place. Our government has been picking winners and losers. We do not have capitalism. Most people on the left think capitalism is the problem. It's not capitalism. It's cronyism. We have created a cronyist system, a system of oligarchy in this country. And it's done only with the help of the government. And this is what lobbying is about. This is what special interests are about. This is what our tax code is about. Do you understand, on the left, you get so excited when you hear that they're going to raise taxes on the rich. Let me tell you something. I've known some very wealthy people, very few of them, but a few of them. And I've told the story before. I met with somebody that was worth over $110 million, and I wanted to help them find a way to avoid taxes when I was a financial advisor. And I sat down with them, and I gave them my spiel. I'd worked on this thing for about a week. I wanted to get this guy's account. Obviously, as a financial advisor, your job is to attract assets. And I worked on this thing for a week and took my boss with me, the regional manager, and we went to sit down with this man. And I laid out all my plans for how he could defer a lot of his income, his annual income, into, you know, pension plans and all this planning, all perfectly legal stuff. And this guy looked at me and he said, "Well, that's a great idea. The problem is I don't pay taxes." And I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah. There are so many carve-outs in his industry, because his industry is littered with wealthy people, that they own politicians, and the politicians create this tax code that gives them the breaks that they want. So when you leftists get so excited about one of your candidates telling you they're going to tax the rich here, tax the rich there, let me tell you something, it never happens. Yeah, there may be a little bite out of them here or there, but when you up the marginal rate on somebody because one of your socialist overlords tells you they're going to soak the rich. Look, the rich own Congress. So when they draft these pieces of taxation legislation, or they put in little carve-outs, little ways to defer income on this, or carried interest here, or an offset for here. So I'm with you on a lot of the problems that you people on the left have with the system. The problem is you believe that people like Elizabeth Warren, Hillary Clinton, Nancy Pelosi, you think they're going to fix your problems, and I find that incredibly sad. You're a functioning human being, most of you. You've been neutered and convinced that you're absolutely helpless unless your loving government helps you, which is really pathetic. If you got up this morning and got dressed and put your shoes on and maybe had a little bit of breakfast and cranked up your own car and got to a job or whatever you did this morning, and if you did it all by yourself, then you're a big boy or girl. You don't need a politician to help you. You need them to get out of the way. Because it kind of struck me, I was going to talk about this anyway, you know, as I'm watching this impeachment stuff and I'm watching the hatred in this country, Colbert had Hillary Clinton on a couple of nights ago, and apparently they started the lock him up chant. Now, I got to say, for all of you, all you Trump supporters out there, you don't really have a reason to get mad about that. You find that disgusting, I'm sure. But, I mean, you know, if you can dish it out, you got to be able to take it. Anyway, the hatred for Donald Trump is interesting for me, and this call for impeachment and the fact that so many people on the left want to see Donald Trump impeached. If you think Donald Trump is a bad president, just let him be bad for one more year. The country's had bad presidents before. We will have them again. Now, I'm not really judging personally whether or not I think Trump's a good president or a bad president. I'm on the record of saying he does some good things and he does some bad things. But if you think he is just the worst president we've ever had, then beat him at the ballot box in November. Mobilize your forces. Really stoke some passion on your side to get out there and beat him at the ballot box. Just let him be bad, because the problem is Trump hasn't done anything that's so bad. And I'm kind of with you people on the left that don't like Trump's rhetoric and don't like his style. I find it obnoxious. That makes me unpopular with some Trump supporters because they think he's in the fight. I just think it's ineffective and it's not my style. Now, Trump has made some unwise comments. He talks a lot and he tweets relentlessly. And he has said when he speaks off the cuff, I don't think all brain cells are firing at the same time sometimes. So he said some things that you could interpret a certain way. But what has he done that you find so abhorrent? Was it releasing that the woman who was doing a life sentence essentially for a drug charge that he got released? I mean, if you would shut up and just watch what he does, I don't think you'd have a problem. But you've been hoodwinked. You've been convinced by your overlords, the ones that convince you that they're the only ones that love you and can fix your lives, that you need to get rid of this man because he's an existential threat to this country. What has he done? You got a caller online. Caller, are you with me?
I am. I just wanted to give a full-throated agreement with everything you're saying. I mean, the ultimate in the art of illusion, distraction, and puppet mastery. I mean, there's an old book that's politically incorrect to say, oh, please don't throw me in the briar patch.
Yeah.
You know, he dangles one false carrot after another, and they just can't resist but to attack, and all it strengthens his base, his fundraising, and his likelihood of reelection.
Yeah, the impeachment is probably the best gift he could have possibly gotten. I mean, really. Yeah, thanks for the call. I just ask the left, I don't understand the hysteria. I have got legitimate disagreements with Donald Trump. You want to hear some criticism of Donald Trump? Tune in here from 9 to 11 o'clock. Here's the thing, though. Hopefully this radio show survives into some other presidential term of somebody else. Now, I'm not saying I want Donald Trump to be defeated next time. I'm just saying, if people don't know me except during a Trump presidency, if I had been on the air during the Obama presidency, you would have heard nothing but a negative against Obama, and you will probably hear nothing. Here's the thing. I don't like politicians. I don't like overlords. I don't like the tremendous power of our federal government. I don't like an imperial presidency. I take issue with the fact that a president or a mayor or a senator or whatever tweets a bunch on Christmas Day. I'm like, can you give us a break? Who needs to hear from the president of the United States 10 times on Christmas Day? I don't like our federal government. It is too big. It is too expensive. It is bankrupting us. The results are terrible. So if you want to hear some criticism of Donald Trump, some legitimate things, I've got plenty of them. He just sent troops to Saudi Arabia. He just sent some of our boys and girls. Our sons and daughters, our brothers and sisters, our moms and dads just got sent to Saudi Arabia to protect Saudi Arabia. It's the country that attacked us on 9/11. It's the country that has been the sponsor of all of the terrorist groups we've been convinced are such boogeymen, ISIS, al-Nusra, al-Qaeda. It is a Wahhabist sect of Islam. And Donald Trump just sent some of our kids over there to defend them. Donald Trump has increased troop levels in the Middle East rather than draw them down and get us out of there. Donald Trump is facilitating in this attack on Iran. I have a ton, I mean, almost across the board, except for with the approachment to North Korea, I've got problems with Donald Trump's foreign policy. So if you have these disagreements, that's fine. But just to hate this man and just act like you just can't take another year. Now, I kind of agree with the caller. I don't know if this is just a trap the left is for. I honestly almost... We know the motives are political. I know everybody will raise a bunch of money on this. And here's the thing, too, for you people on the left, this impeachment, and for people on the right, it's going nowhere. Even if they got a vote through the House to do an impeachment of Donald Trump, it's not going to remove him from office. The Senate is not going to deliver on a conviction on this thing. So this is all political theater, and why I'm not going to spend every day for 2 hours breathlessly covering every little move on this impeachment thing. But if you are on the left and you think Donald Trump is so terrible, then vote him out of office. But to think that he is somehow worse than any of the others that have come through there is just, you've been conditioned by a media and by a Democratic establishment that is just playing you. What has he done? Putting his language aside, and here's why, where I part with a lot of Trump supporters. They love his rhetoric, and he says a lot of the right things. I'm judging him on his actions, and I think some of his actions are counterproductive. I think some of his actions are not about limited government. I think some of his actions are not consistent with what he campaigned on. I'm looking at the actions. I don't care about the rhetoric, to be honest with you, none of it. And neither should the left. You should be looking at what this man is doing. He just gave you, with his budget deal with the Democrats, just a few months ago, his budget deal with the Democrats, this was his deal. The White House negotiated with the Democrats for the latest budget. He gave the left, in order to get his endless military spending, he gave the left $160 or $170 billion more dollars for social programs. Do you know that on the left? Do you know that Donald Trump is not some government shrinking, program cutting conservative? He's growing. I mean, you got an extra $160 billion for your social programs. So what is your beef? I don't get it. Again, if you take offense to some of the things he said, of course, we live in a time where if you say anything that is just slightly unacceptable, then you need to be fired. You need to be run out of town. I understand. There's a lot of snowflakes out there. But outside of you snowflakes that get so hurt by anything you find offensive that means somebody should be depersoned and deplatformed and fired and run out of society because you don't like their speech. Outside of that, what has Donald Trump done for the average Democratic voter to be so hell-bent on getting him out of office early? And I'll give you the answer. It's nothing. It's nothing. Don't give me the kids in cages. Barack Obama did it too. You don't care about kids in cages. You care because your Democratic overlords told you to care now and ignore the fact that Barack Obama did the same thing. There's just not a thing that I don't know if there's a more objective radio show host on. I'm no Trump lover, supporter, loyalist. To me, Donald Trump is just another politician at this point. Like anybody who takes office, they can say all the things they want to leading into office. They can send out all the tweets they want. They can say anything they want to at a campaign rally. I don't care what any politician says at any of these things. I'm watching what they do. So you've got a real objective voice here. I can't see one single thing that Donald Trump has done that means that you need to get so exercised about the idea that you can't let him serve out one more year. And I guess there's a lot of credence to what Trump supporters say, which is the fact is you're scared he's going to get four more. But even if he gets four more, we've had bad presidents for 8 years too. You don't think conservatives sat back and had to just watch Barack Obama for 8 years and gnash their teeth and shake their fist at the television screen every time he came on? We didn't like Barack Obama. We didn't think he was doing a good job. But we just sat there and we took it because that's what the vote said. And then we worked to get somebody else elected. That's the way you're supposed to do it. It's amazing to me. Trump derangement syndrome is real. It is absolutely a real thing. I've got a theory, though. When we come back, the way Bernie Sanders goes down yesterday, right? Got a heart thing going on. I'll tell you what, I smell a snake coming here. I think we need to be on guard for something. Let's see what happens to Elizabeth Warren next, because you know the shoe to drop after Elizabeth Warren goes down. I'll be right back.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
I am in cellular communications purgatory right now. Does anybody remember? I'm old enough at 52 to kind of remember as cell phones came around. Do you remember what the cell phone experience was 15 years ago, 20 years ago, when they just started? Now, the phones didn't do as many fancy things as they do now. They weren't little computers. They were, I don't know, phones. You would go to a cellular provider. They would just be so happy to see it. They would bend over backwards. You'd go in and you'd see a rep. They're like, let me see what I can do. They'd try to get you a free phone to get you on board with them. The service was about $25 or $30 a month. They just slipped a SIM card in and you got back in your car. It took about 10 minutes. I'm changing my cellular phone carrier. After 20 years, it felt, I mean, I kind of pulled my punch on this. It took me a long time to pull the trigger on this. It felt almost like ending a long-term relationship, although it was an abusive relationship to a degree. And I'm not going to tell you who I was with and who I've gone to and all that stuff, because I don't know if my new company is going to treat me any better. But I had to wipe my phone. I've had SIM card problems. I can't find my old account. And I'm so bad at all this stuff. I just long for a simpler day. Everything is going. I remember I was watching yesterday as they were setting my account up with the new company. And they come out there, you know, you're standing in the lobby of the cell phone place and they're on their iPad. They are zipping through screen after screen after screen after screen. I mean, there's so much going on. I thought I was just going in. Again, it's been 20 years since I changed cell phone carriers. I'm a loyal guy. I have nothing else. People think I criticize Trump. I must be unloyal or something like that. No, I just have a high level of expectations and accountability. But I'm a pretty loyal guy. I've had friends for 40, 50 years are some of my best friends still. Well, not 50, 40 years. Some of my friends of 40 years are still some of the friends I hang out with. Very, very loyal. But I'm just stuck. So if any of my friends out there are trying to reach me on my old phone number, we're trying to port that over. What was a 2-hour process is now turned into an 18-hour process. And I'm not sure if I'm going to lose the number altogether. I'm nervous. I don't know if anybody wants to hear this. It's just, we have so overcomplicated everything. Everything becomes so intertwined. And I mean, it's just, we've jumped the shark, I think, on technology and everything else. I was talking to the cell reps about 5G, and they said, well, you know, when they talk about rolling 5, it's not really 5G yet. And I even talked to, this was two or three reps with the stuff, and I asked them if 5G is coming, when it's coming. They said, well, we don't really know. We're not really set up for it. The towers that are going up will be 4G for a while. 5G is still a ways away. And I said, well, why are we doing 5G? And they said, I don't know. Nobody seems to know. Nobody can tell me why it's important with 5G, the Internet of Things. Nobody's told me why it's important that my dishwasher be somehow digitally connected and able to communicate with my toaster, which is the big promise of 5G. It's too complicated. Am I just an old fogey? Am I one of these troglodytes who just can't get hip? I mean, am I turning into that guy? I still listen to a lot of pretty hard, angry rock music. I'm a huge fan of some of the new bands that are out there. I feel like I'm hip. I keep my body nice and young. I enjoy entertainment. I think comedy was better 10 or 20 years ago than it is now in the new woke generation. But, you know, I'm trying to keep up with everything. But when it comes to technology, it's just, I think we've just gone too far, too far. And they've got me trapped in it right now. And the mere fact, to be honest with you, the mere fact I'm even whining about it. I've got a cell phone. I've got a smartphone cell phone. They gave me a temporary number. I'm still functioning. It's not like I'm somehow stranded somewhere, helpless, and yet I'm somehow annoyed by all this. It shows maybe the effect it has even on me. I expect instant results. It's just so complicated. I can't wrap my mind around it. I think I'm rebelling against it. I'm rebelling against social media. I'm rebelling against the phone stuff. I just think it's too much. We can't handle it. Homo sapiens are not programmed to take in all of this flood of information and communication and everything else. I told the sales rep yesterday, I said, I'll be honest with you. If you just gave me the choice of continuing down this path or going right back to, do you remember when you used to call somebody? You'd call their house to talk to them. And the parent, this is when I was a kid, obviously, the parent would answer. They're not here right now. I'll tell them to call you later. That was it. That was it. Or you called and you got a busy signal. Do you remember the busy signal? You might have to call somebody two or three times in a row to try to wait until they get off the phone. I had one phone at the house. My parents would have to pick up the other side of the line and tell me, get off the phone. Other people in this house, you know. I would go right back to those days in a heartbeat if we all had to. Now, I can't do it alone because the expectation of me is to be like everybody else. You've got to be in touch. Everybody else running around with a cell phone wants to call or wants to contact me. I've got to be able to do it for, you know, business reasons. I've got kids, all that stuff. But if I could just wave a magic wand, I would go back to the one landline at the house. Good luck getting in touch with me. If you miss me, I'll get back to you when I can. All night.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right, we're back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Want to join the show today, 601-879-0002. I could probably do the rest of the show today just on going back to simpler times. I won't. But I get fired up about the technology stuff. I see so much damage of social media on us. You know, we used to be able to get 20 people to go to New Orleans when I was in high school or in college. We get 20 people in five different cars to go to New Orleans and meet up. We'd all go have a great time. Everybody would make it home. We never had a cell phone. How did we find each other? Oh my gosh. How did we get there? How did we figure out where the place was we needed to go? But we made it work. We made it work. And I'll admit, I've become somewhat helpless too. I don't think I own a map. I moved up to Los Angeles back in 1987. I moved to Los Angeles. They had what looked like a book. It had pages in it. You know, you Los Angeles and all the streets and everything, the map would have to be, you know, the size of a bulletin board to put it on there. So instead of a map you fold it out, they have a book. I can't even remember the name of this thing. People who've lived in these big cities back in the 80s know these books. And you went, you had to go to whatever grid you were looking for, and you go through these things. I found my way around Los Angeles fine. Los Angeles. Now, somebody gives you an address, you have to have that exact address and put it in your phone, because heaven forbid, there's kids out there that can't read a watch. They can't read a clock. If it's not a digital thing, they cannot read a clock. Teach your kids to read a clock, people. Just in case. Grid goes down, we're going to need those clocks. Speaking of going down, yesterday Bernie Sanders went down. Bernie Sanders' campaign is effectively over. He never really had a chance. It's kind of hard to really figure out exactly what it is that the media and the left has against Bernie Sanders, because he seems to check all the boxes, doesn't he? I mean, he's a socialist. He was drawing big crowds. I understood it when he was going against Hillary, because Hillary owns the media. But when he's in a race with Biden and Elizabeth Warren, you would think he might be on equal footing. But they've always tried to kind of distract away from Bernie Sanders. But the bottom line is he was never going to get there. And that's a good thing. I'm glad. I mean, the guy is just, his ideas are pathetic. Somebody who's never worked a day in the private sector just cannot go into government. As corrupt as it is, as bad as the people that go into government are, somebody who's never had to, just never dipped a toe in anything, in any kind of commercial enterprise, should not be in charge of the biggest economy in the world. So I'm glad to see he's gone. But okay, so now he has a heart thing. He's stopped ad buys. This is going to be an issue. He would be the oldest president ever elected if he were to win the nomination and then win the presidency. He's done for. And Joe Biden is also sliding. Obviously, he's the only person in politics really, I think, ultimately hurt by this impeachment talk, because he and his little corrupt son have been dragged into the mud of this thing. This, you know, Trump's raising tons and tons of money off this stuff. It only hurts him with the people who already hate him. With the people who like him, it actually makes him more popular and solidifies his support more. Trump's not going to be hurt by this impeachment stuff, I don't believe. Even independents are split 50-50. Right down the middle, polls are showing independents are 50-50 on impeachment. So Joe Biden is the casualty of this. It didn't even need this. He was already really fading. I mean, the guy can't give a speech without his eye bleeding. That's a problem. People don't have a lot of confidence. If you can't deliver a speech without blood coming out of your eyes, then you're probably not suited for the job. So Joe Biden was sliding anyway. That leaves Elizabeth Warren. Now, here's what we need to be on the lookout for, and I think this is going to be fascinating to watch. Elizabeth Warren, just recently, in the past couple of weeks, big financial interests, and yes, to all you people on the left, big financial interests, the big banks, the hedge fund guys, the big oligarchs in Silicon Valley, they are the backbone of the DNC. You like to think you're over there with a ragtag bunch of ordinary working Joes who've been screwed by the system, and that's how you're, you know, that's what your party is made up of. But the Democratic Party is littered with the oligarchs, with the billionaires, and people with hundreds of millions of dollars. The big financial interests. You go across the board. You look at the head of Goldman Sachs, the guy that was there, Lloyd Blankfein, Democrat. Jamie Dimon, the head of J.P. Morgan, Democrat. You look in the hedge fund universe, you know, these evil hedge fund people that you're always convinced are just the devil and this ritual, the Wall Street that every Democratic candidate has campaigned against, and you just don't notice because the media won't tell you. Barack Obama raised more money off the big banks than either Romney or McCain during their elections. Your party is bought and paid for by the big banks. Their rhetoric makes you think differently, so I can understand why you're tricked. But if you look at the facts of the matter, the Wall Street loves the Democrats because Democrats keep the game going. Now, they've got love for Republicans. They don't really have a problem if a Republican wins. They still do fine. But in the last couple of weeks, the banks, the big financial interests that have typically been Democrat, have said they will support Trump or they will sit out the election if Elizabeth Warren gets the nomination. They're legitimately scared of her, maybe. But she is now going to be the lone front runner. There's a debate, I believe it's the 15th, 16th, 18th, something like that. There's one last Democratic debate coming up. I say last, I don't know that for a fact. Maybe there's more, but I know there's one more Democratic debate. We're pretty much getting down to the, you know, we're going to whittle this thing down. The Democrats have got to come up with their front runner pretty soon here. We've gone from 20 down to 10. Now we're really down to 3. And of those 3, 2 of them have essentially imploded, Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden, leaving Elizabeth Warren standing. Now, the big money people behind the Democratic Party are telling the Democratic Party, if this woman is your choice, then we are not going to back her. Going into this final debate, if something happens to Elizabeth Warren, this is what we need to be on the lookout for. A new scandal with Elizabeth Warren, or some level of dissatisfaction at the DNC level, because the DNC, ultimately, their job is to raise money. And if a bunch of gajillionaires won't support Elizabeth Warren, they're going to have to take her out. When this new scandal erupts, they're going to have nobody as a front runner. Everybody else is trailing them so horribly down at, you know, anything from 2 to 6%. I mean, Kamala Harris, nowhere. Pete Buttigieg, nowhere. Cory Booker's, has he already dropped out? I know he was going to. I don't even pay attention enough to care. Cory Booker's going nowhere. Beto O'Rourke is just such an incredible lightweight. And just the fact he branded himself well with this, I don't know. I don't even know where Beto came from as far as his name. It has nothing to do with his name. He's nowhere. So Elizabeth Warren is it. If they take down Elizabeth Warren, what's the DNC going to do? Well, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and her daughter, Chelsea, this week helped propel CBS Late Show host Stephen Colbert to the program's highest Monday night ratings, drawing more than 3.7 million viewers. This is where, and I don't have a clip of it. I don't really care. I should probably play it. I've got Hillary's cackle in my show opener, in my show introduction. And it's one of the things I get comments on from people. They love, I got to tell you, I love my show introduction. It says a lot of things that I think frame this show very well. Talks about corruption and then Hillary Clinton just cackling. I get a lot of comments. They say, oh, I like the intro. I just, when she starts cackling, it just makes me cringe, but I like it. You know, I can't listen. She cackled again on the Colbert Show, did her little laugh thing. If some new scandal comes for Elizabeth Warren, Hillary Clinton is in this race. She's in. And she will be able to come out and say, well, I didn't want to. Gosh, golly gee, Wilkins, I didn't want to. But, you know, with Joe Biden embroiled in the Ukraine stuff and Bernie Sanders with his health problems and then this for Elizabeth Warren, whatever the this is, I'm not sure what it is yet. Now, I could be completely wrong. It could be Elizabeth Warren just takes this thing and suddenly we've got Trump versus Warren, which is just, we're living in a bizarro world. Elizabeth Warren as the president of the United States, I got to tell you, I can't even imagine it. I don't know what anybody sees in this woman. I think she's horrible. I think she's off-putting. She's awkward. She's gangly. She's so obviously pandering to me. You know, when you see somebody tell you something and their style is so pandering that you just look around and say, why is anybody else? And Hillary Clinton's like that, too. Hillary Clinton goes and changes her dialect when she talks to a black audience. I'm in no way tired. You know, she does her whole spiel. You just look around and you say, people are believing this. And you look at their faces and they're enthralled. I guess Elizabeth Warren has some of this ability as well. I find her incredibly weak. I just find her weak. She has no presence in my view. But I come at, I'm a little different. Everybody's looking for their savior in their political party. I revile basically anybody who runs for office until they prove me wrong. Now, every now and then, you know, there's somebody that makes a lot of sense, appears kind of statesmanlike, they deep in thought. But the nature of politics is to pander to a base, and I just see through it from a mile away, where everybody else is waiting for that person to pander to them and tell them, stroke their ego, tell them what they want to hear. All I want to hear is that you're going to dramatically downsize this government, get us out of the wars, and leave people alone. And no candidate tells me this. No candidate since Ron Paul has said that's what they want to do. So I dislike all of them, because they've always got plans for my life. I reject anybody who comes up to me outside of a family member trying to give me advice, or a good friend giving me some helpful advice because they know me and they know my situation and they want to help me because we've got a relationship. Outside of that, I don't want anybody coming and telling me what plans they've got for me. But apparently, people in the partisan politics, where I used to be, I understand. I looked glowingly at some of these people at 1.2 when I was young and a child. It's hard to even believe that I looked at these people on the Sunday shows and admired John McCain, Trent Lott, some of these other people. It's just stunning that that used to be the person who I was. But I guess Elizabeth Warren has this. Just be on the lookout. If they take down Elizabeth Warren, Hillary Clinton's going to have to say, well, I didn't want to run. But they don't have anybody else. We've got to. They're going to draft Hillary Clinton in. The DNC will do their thing where they draft Hillary Clinton in. Now, the question is, could Hillary Clinton beat Donald Trump? And everybody who just heard this on WYAB said, no, absolutely not. Trump's going to. I got to tell you, I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. I believe Donald Trump could beat Hillary Clinton pretty easily, but I see through Hillary Clinton. There's so many people in this country, we don't understand the level that they are operating at. They cannot see through this woman. But the rematch would be so fantastic for everybody that is an observer of the political theater. Hillary Clinton, if something happens to Elizabeth Warren, and it will happen in the next 2 to 3 weeks, a new scandal, a health scare, whatever it is, the frontrunners in the DNC are falling one after another like dominoes. Elizabeth Warren, the only one standing. She's either the candidate or something's going to happen, and it's going to be Hillary. It's going to be interesting to see, and it's going to happen soon, so be on the lookout for that. Stay with me. All night
with the king. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
All right, I got a couple of stories I want to get into next hour. One is, there's a whole nother group of people. You know, we've been really talking a lot for the past couple of years during the Trump presidency about illegal immigrants coming to take our jobs. There's a whole nother group out there that has got their eyes set on our jobs, and we need to cast a very wary eye towards this group, because this is going to be wrecking to our economy. So we're going to talk about that next hour. And then also, there's a lot of things about treason being thrown around. Donald Trump is talking about Adam Schiff being treasonous in his actions. People have accused Donald Trump of treason over and over again. I've got some other people that I'd like to put up, I'd like to nominate for treason. And so we'll talk about that. Again, it's something that most conservatives won't think of, and I think it's something worth considering. You know, in talking just in the last couple of minutes I've got of this hour, talking about Hillary Clinton running against Donald Trump, here is my big fear. Not that Hillary Clinton could beat Donald Trump today. I still think she is incredibly dislikable. She lost for a reason, and it wasn't just because she didn't campaign correctly, but it was a lot closer than most Trump supporters want to acknowledge. It really came down to, now I will tell you too, the maps of this country that show which counties went for Republicans in these races is staggering. It's these big urban centers, you know, that are doing the heavy Democrat voting. It is stunning that so much of the country is with the more conservative side of things, and yet these elections are that close. But the Hillary Clinton, you know, she was close. But here's my big fear. Donald Trump is the epitome of capitalism. He's a businessman. He talks about capitalism. If we have a big recession, they are going to lay the noose of capitalism around his neck, and they are going to use that to tell people who don't pay attention, who can't think for themselves, that capitalism is what led to the next financial crisis, instead of the truth, which is it's the government that creates these things along with the Federal Reserve. Trump is the perfect foil for that. If we have a financial crisis, we're going to have some big problems. Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
I am, Mike. This is Robert. How are you?
Good, Robert. How are you?
I'm good. I somewhat agree with you, but I don't think that it's going to take as many people getting in trouble to get Hillary in. I think she's in.
Yeah, I mean,
I think her and Elizabeth Warren aren't buddies, and I don't think Warren getting in trouble is going to dictate. I think come January, you're going to before it becomes time to get out and really go for the primaries and stuff, you're going to see her in.
Well, I think, the reason I think something has to happen to Elizabeth Warren, because Hillary Clinton can't be seen as the person that comes in and snatches it after Elizabeth Warren does all the work and the debates and all that stuff, and Hillary Clinton just steps in like the queen. That'll be off-putting to Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren fans. She has to be given the appearance that she's coming in to save, to save the party, because she's the only one that can beat Trump. That's just my feeling, but I agree with you. I think she's plotting to come in.
Oh, I think she's looking at it because she is everything but I mean, the narcissist that she is, she truly believes that this was her rightful spot, that she should be the president right now.
Yep.
And it was stolen from her. It was taken from her. The morons out there that voted for Trump along with she probably really believes that the Russians stole the election.
Oh, I don't know about that. She's such a liar. I think she's
I mean, she is such a narcissist and such an ego idiot. And she really believes that this was her rightful spot, and she should be the president right now. And by God, she's coming back to claim her spot.
Well, if it hadn't been so close, if she hadn't gotten the popular vote, supposedly, I still question that, I wouldn't be quite as nervous. But it would be great to see her lose for a third time. That would be classic. So that would be worth the time.
You know,
hey, got to take a break. Be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
You tell me that you... All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks so much for joining me today. Got a couple of topics. I am not going to be your impeachment headquarters. I got to tell you, some of the tweets are kind of entertaining. I like the Nickelback tweet. And apparently it's been taken down for copyright that they used it. This was Trump sending out a tweet with a picture of Joe Biden with Hunter and the executives from Burisma. And the line of the song says, "Look at this photograph," a Nickelback song. You know, we just can't have any fun anymore. Immediately copyright takes that down. That's a good one. There have been a couple of kind of clever tweets. I can appreciate when it's clever, I like it. That's clever. When it's just saying stuff to rile up one group or another, not so much for me. I also don't understand the bashing of Nickelback. Can I digress for just 1 second before we get into this incredibly important topic, which is it's not just the illegal immigrants coming for our jobs. There is a new group sneaking in and taking jobs from other Americans. Nickelback is so largely maligned They've become kind of a joke. And I've never really understood that. I don't know if you're a Nickelback fan or a Nickelback hater. Most people are Nickelback haters for some reason. Now, they're a kind of a raunchy band. The guy seems to have maybe some compulsion towards a lot of, does a lot of sex talks, but it's rock and roll, man. It's hard rock and roll, Nickelback. They just became a punchline to so many jokes, and they got some good music. The song Animal, which if you're a snowflake, you may not really like. It's about, you know, a boy and a girl getting together. This is what it's about. It's one of the greatest hard rock songs of the last 20 years, as far as I'm concerned, yet I am alone. I look around, though. So why does, you know, I don't understand. How did Nickelback? It's something about them. But anyway, I digress. All right, let me get into my topic here, because I think this is very important. And there's a lot of talk about illegal immigrants coming across our border and taking American jobs. It's a real thing. It has happened. And whether or not Trump will be effective in dealing with that has still yet to be seen. I don't know if the wall's actually being built. Ann Coulter is not convinced. She seems to be the only conservative that she won't let it go. She wants to see the wall. She wants to see real new walls. She doesn't care about rebuilt stuff. I mean, she praises. She says, yeah, some of these walls were ineffective, and they've reinforced them or whatever. But she says she just can't get a straight answer on whether or not there's any more real wall being built. Some people say there is. I've seen footage of what looks like new wall going up. I don't know where we are. I don't think it's going to be completed. And if it's completed, I think the next Democratic president knocks it right back down. This is maybe good for our economy. Our economy's gotten to the point where we just, you know, maybe we just need to start, you know, digging holes, paying people to dig holes, and then pay people to fill them back up. That'll increase GDP. It gets us nowhere, but anyway. But there's another group coming for American jobs, and they've already started, and it's kind of stealth. This is a very sneaky, subversive group. We really need to keep our eyes on them, because this trend has been bubbling under the radar for quite some time and nobody seems to notice. So let me warn you. Let me expose this nefarious group of people that is coming for your jobs. 1 in 4 adults age 65 and older is now in the workforce. That number is expected to increase, making it the fastest growing group of workers in the country. Older adults are turning their backs on retirement for many reasons. Some just love what they do. Others, though, need the money. And there's lots of reasons why they do. The days of working for one company that would take care of you after you retire are long gone. Few private sector workers now have traditional defined benefit pensions, where you're paid a fixed stipend for life depending on your salary and years of service, and they've switched them over, of course, to 401ks. During the worst of the last recession, 401k accounts lost almost one-third of their value, and that was enough to change some would-be retirees' plans. A recent survey study found that about 50% of older Americans are dipping into their retirement savings to help their grown children. And some folks just haven't saved enough. Baby boomers have median savings of a little over $150,000 to get through what could be a 30-year retirement. And this story goes on and highlights some of these older workers. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. The old people won't leave the workforce. They're taking the jobs that eager young Americans entering the workforce want to do. A little ironic that seems like older people are staying in the workforce and then they're giving their children the money. But this is what the reason I bring this up. I can't imagine retiring if you can find a job that you enjoy doing and it challenges you and you're physically able to do it. You know, I don't know. Retirement sounds great if you do the right things with it and travel. But for most people who just don't have the resources to travel, to just sit around, to stop being productive and just sitting around doesn't seem real attractive to me. But this is the new normal, and this is an important trend that people need to really pay attention to, because what it should call your attention to is that this is what has happened to our system. The American dream has been stripped out of this. Now, I'm not telling you there's not opportunity in this country. Every one of you are individuals. And during good times or bad, you have the capability, regardless of what a Democratic or some Republican candidates tell you, you can do all right. You're going to be okay if you make the right moves. It takes a level of personal responsibility, a level of nimbleness. You have to think on your feet when things don't go great. But I'm not sitting here saying that America doesn't have any more opportunity, that we're all doomed, or we're all going to die if somebody didn't come save us all. But one more financial crisis, and I believe even conservatives will be begging the government for help. We have sat back for so long and allowed this country to be just completely hollowed out. Now, a lot of you think that Trump is, he's the guy. He's the one fighting it now, and he's going to get it back for you. But he will not do that alone. And the evidence of any kind of financial resurgence right now is still in question. This is the thing I probably disagree with Trump supporters about, because one of the problems that I have with Donald Trump, I've voted for the man again. Let me give all my bona fides. I voted for him. I wanted to see him upset the apple cart. I'm certainly complimentary of things he does that I like. The problem is when he continually spouts off that we have the greatest economy this country's ever seen, and he's said this dozens and dozens and dozens of times, I know it to not be true, and that bothers me. Most people believe that if he says it, it's true, and you got to get on board, and then they point to this. This is the best economy we've had. Look at the unemployment rate. Well, maybe this is part of it. Older people can't retire. We've got GDP that is circling the drain now, but lower than 2%. We got a manufacturing number that just came out. Manufacturing resurgence was supposed to be this thing that was going to come in and save the country. This trade war with China, we're going to bring the manufacturing jobs back. Thousands of manufacturing facilities are opening up around the country. I have doubted that, but I've not ever been able to quantify it either yes or no. People on both sides of the aisle have got to get together and understand that we've been screwed by the system. Trump's not going to fix it all by himself. His intentions may be good. He may have some good ideas on that. But for right now, conservatives need to lead the way, because it's at least the conservative side of things, most conservatives have not been convinced that they are helpless children. The left has already given in, and they are completely helpless until somebody wakes them up and tells them it's going to be okay and that they're big boys and girls. But their politicians have whipped them into submission, thinking that the government has got to fix it. Right now, conservatives still have this idea that you can make it on your own and you don't need the government's help. That will change after the next financial crisis. Conservatives will be begging for the government's help. Now, Trump's taking on the Chinese. He says he wants to bring back America with manufacturing, but so far that is not yet working. It is not. Manufacturing is in a slump. Maybe some jobs have been created. Maybe business conditions in China are tough, but the chances are that if we stay at loggerheads with China and this trade war continues to exacerbate, more factories will move to Vietnam than will move back to the United States. That does not help the United States any, and probably increases prices to consumers. My biggest problem with Donald Trump is that he calls for more debt. His continual spending on the military also means that he has to give the Democrats more spending on social programs. This is a problem, not a fix for it. His call for zero or lower interest rates is going to be horrible for this country should he get his wish, and he probably will get his wish. And here's what I was saying last time. The idea of Hillary Clinton losing a third election, you know, she lost out to Barack Obama in 2008. She lost to Donald Trump in 2016. To have her sent packing one more time would be very satisfying, just because she is as nasty as they get. I don't hate a liberal neighbor like most people do. I don't hate a Hollywood celebrity that comes out and says something that I don't agree with, because they don't affect my life. People like Hillary Clinton have been affecting our lives for 30 years, and she's massively corrupt. So I don't like to use the term hate, but I think I hate her. I think I truly hate her. But they are going to lay, as these things don't pan out the way we're expecting with Donald Trump. Donald Trump's laying claim to this economy is going to be laid around his neck when we have a financial crisis, and they're going to point to capitalism as the problem. Now, here's the thing that I say that is different than many people. I'm calling for a recession now, not because I want it, not because I want it to hurt Trump's fault, but it is our fault. We need to take our medicine. I'm talking to you and the jaded, I guess they're still called the greatest generation. I'm talking to you, the baby boomers, and I'm talking to me and my group, Generation X. And I'm like at the leading edge of Generation X. It still makes me feel like I'm trying to pretend like I'm younger, but I've looked it up. I was born in 1967. Generation X, I think, started in 64 or 65. We need to take our medicine. We're supposed to be the responsible adults out there. This trend of older people still working is not just because we're healthier and we're living longer. It's actually not happening at all. It is because we've allowed our economic system to be hollowed out by politicians on both sides that have convinced us of things like the Federal Reserve. We've been tricked for the longest time. We were tricked by D.C. hucksters who sold us programs to benefit special interest as something that was good for us. The left was bought out by promises of freebies and cradle-to-grave care. And again, as I say, Democrats have convinced the black community and the Hispanic community and the working class, anybody who believes Democratic talking points, they believe that they're helpless without the Democrats. They've been bought out by this. Even though the Democrats deliver on none of these things, they haven't fixed the war on poverty. They haven't. Wealth inequality is worse after Barack Obama. Democrats don't pay attention to the results. They just get angrier as the results get bad and they demand more from the Democrats. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they've been completely tricked. But the right was also bought out by the national security state. It cost over $1 trillion a year now. And the right has been bought out by that. We all gave into this consumerism stuff. We bought into maintaining our lifestyles through endless debt, and this was done at the behest of the big, powerful money people who were just collecting records amount of interest on personal debt, government debt. I mean, debt. We've been sold this thing. I mean, it was the Republicans. It's kind of funny. I started kind of thinking about it and tracing it back to really kind of what started us on the trajectory we're on here. It was a Democrat who started the Vietnam War, right? Now, you could actually say even during Eisenhower, I read a story the other day that the CIA was setting the stage for the Vietnam War. They were trying to get it kicked off. But Kennedy resisted. He was a Democrat. But then Lyndon Johnson came in and we were off to the races in Vietnam. This was a budget-busting thing we could not afford. The Democrats started the Vietnam War. And then a Republican actually, just to get elected, Richard Nixon, sabotaged some peace talks through Kissinger, who's still snaking around the Trump administration right now. Guy will not die. Richard Nixon actually stalled some peace talks to keep the war going so that he would get a leg up in election, and then another 38,000 Americans died. But also in 1971, Richard Nixon, a Republican, took us off the gold standard. What I'm trying to say is, if you look historically, you'll see there is no party responsibility for this. It's both of them. And I just wonder how many of us out there realize this is our responsibility to fix. Yes, I know millennials and snowflakes and stuff are incredibly annoying. They're easy to make fun of. It's really sad what the next generation that's coming, at least the public face on them. I know a lot of really good millennials. I know a lot of really good teenagers and stuff that have got their heads screwed on straight, but they don't get the media press. So we see all these snowflakes and millennials, and we've seen the woke culture and the cancel culture. I want to call it cancer because it is a cancer. But ultimately, it's our responsibility. Some of you are saying, oh, I didn't do all these things. I was responsible with my money. But you voted. You've continually voted for people who bankrupted this country. They always told you that it wasn't their fault. They had to do it because the other side was obstructing what they wanted to do. We have all voted for this stuff for decades and decades. Now, older people can't retire. Younger people can't buy a house. They're saddled in student loans. This is all the responsibility of generations ahead of the generation that's experiencing the brunt of this thing right now. I'm telling you, I want the recession. I want the financial wipeout. I want the resetting. All of the misallocation of money, all of the debt that these corporations saddled themselves with, they need to go bust. The bank should have gone bust in 2008. It would have been brutal. Woohoo! The recession we had in 2008, 2009, 2010 that we're still suffering the effects of right now would have been twice as bad. But now it would be over. Instead, we let politicians on both sides of the aisle. This was George W. Bush who bailed out the banks, remember? It was Barack Obama who didn't prosecute any of the banks and kept the bailouts going. It was the Federal Reserve that's nonpartisan. It just continues to serve that kept feeding money to these banks that should have gone bust. But you and I, our generations, we have sat back and watched this happen. We have supported it. You can pretend like you're above it all and that it's the millennials that are the problem and they're just stupid young kids. I see that. I understand why your reaction to that is what it is. They say ridiculous things. But this is all of our fault. and we pretend like Donald Trump has got some magic wand that he can undo 50 years, and he's not going to do it with the Federal Reserve. You think Donald Trump is going to fix the economy by taking us into negative interest rates? Do you know what that would do to our economy? But we don't care. We are so ready as adults to pass on this mess to another generation. Just try, if we could just make it through now. I just want him to patch it together so we can get reelected. You know, every year that goes by that we do not have this really massive, I kind of call it a reset. I mean, companies need to go bankrupt. People need to go bankrupt. These debts need to be wiped out. We need to quit spending money. We need to quit printing money. It all needs to end. And it's going to end horribly. But every year that goes by that it doesn't happen makes it worse for our children. So I'm the only person cheering for a recession. Whether it's if you want to, I'm okay. Wait till after Trump gets reelected, if you want to. I'll tell you right now, though, if this does not happen before Trump gets reelected, here's my big fear. Donald Trump gets reelected. When Donald Trump does not have a reelection to stand for, that this economy just crumbles to the ground. And we start wars, which is what happens when economies really tank. You find a lot of war around catastrophic times. And if Donald Trump doesn't have to face re-election, then the neocons know that they can probably push him into an Iran war, and he won't resist. It's a very, very, very dangerous time. So we need to take the hit on this thing. Older generations right now know what's going on. I've done this statistic too. Do you know if the government was honest with you on the cost of living adjustments that they give you based on their phony inflation numbers? If they were honest about the inflation, all of you out there that are collecting Social Security would be getting the double the amount you're getting in your check right now. But they screw around with the numbers so that they can screw you on your cost of living adjustment. That should make people mad, but it doesn't. Nobody cares. Now, I'm not saying I want to see Social Security have to double the amount of money they give out. I'm just telling you, you're getting screwed by this. And you think it's the Democrats doing that? No, it's both parties. They've signed on to these programs. Have the Republicans lifted a finger to do anything about entitlements? No. Why not? Why not? I've been listening to them talk about entitlements for 30 years. Old people are going to keep coming for our jobs. You know, I'm being sarcastic here. Nothing against an older person wants to get a job, but you know, that's not in the economic cycle. You've got to step aside and let a young person have that job. That's the way our economy functions. If you hang on for them too long, there's not enough jobs to go around. This is a bad trend, but I thought I would couch it in the idea that it's not just the illegal immigrants taking our job. I got to take a quick break. I'll be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
I'm sorry, I went really long last segment, so this is going to be real short, and I don't really know what I have to add. I'm not a doom and gloomer. I'm a realist. You know, if you run up a ton of credit cards and then leave them to your children, you know, you take out credit. We see these stories all the time. Woman takes out credit cards in her young kids' names, runs up $100,000, and suddenly the kids find out, you know, they're in college and they go to apply for something, and find out they've got all this debt. These stories hit the news from time to time, and we're all incensed. We've done the exact same thing. We are guilty of exactly that thing. And I got to tell you, Mississippi, we're one of the worst about it. We elect the most establishment people here, and even when somebody outside of the establishment comes in, we listen to the establishment talking points that say they're no good and they demonize them and all that stuff. You know, maybe the person challenging the establishment in this state is not great, but I mean, we just keep doing the same things we've been doing. And we're locked in this. It's so hard to do on the show. I don't know how to do it because I'm trying not to lose conservatives on this. But it's both parties. I know it's so much fun to just put on the face paint, a red face paint, and go to battle on Twitter. I know that's fun for you, and it makes you feel like you're part of a team and all that stuff. But, man, the big issues, and I'm doing the story about how old people can't leave the workplace. They've been the older generations, you're seeing the consequence of this now. You know, we've got a government right now, along with the Federal Reserve, that says they really want to see 2% inflation rate every year. They're really upset if they can't get to 2% inflation. To those of you trying to retire and you don't have enough money, how do you feel about all the money that you sent to Washington, D.C. and what they did with it? All of your life, you'd be in a nice, comfy retirement right now had they not picked your pockets every year for the last 50 years of your working life. What do you feel about a Federal Reserve system that tells you they want to erode your savings by 2% a year? Every 10 years, they want 20%. When it compounds, it's actually more than that, 21.9 or whatever it comes out to. They want to take, every 10 years, they want your money and your savings to be worth 20% less, the money in your pocket to be worth 20% less. As Henry Ford said, if people understood the way the financial system works, the banking system works, people, there'd be a revolution tomorrow morning. But they make it very complicated. I can't even find a really entertaining way to discuss it. I've got certain listeners who are, you know, really hip to it, and they'll call up. They're into it. They understand that this is really the crux of the matter. It's not, this impeachment's going nowhere. It's going to be political circus for the next year, I guess, all the way through the election. You know, we're going to see all the party politics play out right in front of us. It's all going to be real entertaining. We're all going to get real mad at each other, and all that's going to happen. But these systems that have led to old people not being able to retire, that have led to young kids leaving college with massive amounts of debt, that have led to a $1 trillion national security state we're living in are just going to keep on going. Nothing's going to change. Trump's not even attempting to change any of those things right now. And this is the bigger, grander things that people should be paying attention to. I don't know the answer to it, but I know the first thing is admitting you've got a problem. It's just like an alcoholic. It's like an overspender. I mean, you know, we know people with spending problems. The first thing to do is admit you've got a problem. I mean, that is the first step. It's for people to wake up. It's to take the red pill and understand you have been tricked even by your own party. And you people on the left, I got to tell you, they have done a number on you. I keep saying this over and over again, but it just floors me. They've made you into such a helpless, weak group of people that believe that you cannot survive on your own. That the people who do go out there and knock the cover off the ball, who start businesses and acquire some level of wealth, you view them as the enemy. The number that the Democratic Party has done on their supporters is pathetic to me. And I talk to Democrats all the time who are actually successful, who make some money. They complain about taxes. It just cracks me up. They don't like to give their money to the government, but they certainly think that this, you know, just whatever. It's just, it's class envy. It's they've turned you into weak, helpless little victims. But on the right, man, we got so much waking up to do on our side. It's sometimes difficult for me to just point at the left. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show. Got a caller on the line I wanted to talk to. We got him off air, and we started talking about Hillary, and break ended. So, caller, are you with me?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, so we were talking about Hillary. Tell us, what do you think? You think she's coming in?
I definitely think she's coming in. Like I said, we were, you know, if you look at Pat, at least really the last two elections, especially the last one, her tactic is to let the other people jump in there, fight each other, spend money, denigrate each other's reputation, and then step in at the last minute, monopolize on the whole thing.
Yeah, and you know, if she had been on those debate stages, all attention would have been on her, and they would have decimated her. I mean, I'm not saying enough to, you know, they're probably partly scared of Hillary, and the DNC would have been in the tank for her. But yeah, she's going to avoid, you know, 20 people taking swipes at her for whatever this ends up being, 6 or 8 months. She gets to avoid all that, and then just at the very end, swoop in and play savior after all of the competitions are already been dispatched. It's genius.
I mean, you look at how Biden's been beat up since he's been
right
in.
Exactly.
And now Biden was the front runner. Now he's an easy target.
Yeah. It's hard to imagine, but is it a coincidence that as all these things are, you know, as we go further down this, now she's suddenly doing the talk circuit? I mean, she was pretty quiet. You know, I loved the story about her walking in the woods after she got her butt handed to her in 2016. I kind of hoped she would stay in the woods, but boy, she's really out in the public right now. Let me ask you this. How is she still alive? I was really thinking that she was not long for this world during that 2016 campaign. Is this infusions of baby blood or something?
It possibly so, or it could be a body double walking around.
You know, I love the double stories, too. The most interesting thing I heard on that, and I know people might think that's nuts, but I do not. I mean, you can't put anything past the Clintons. When she did her the whole thing with her falling over at that 9/11 thing, and then she, and like something metal fell out of her pants leg, and then so they take her back to Chelsea's apartment, and then she comes out like an hour later. She looks perfectly fine. She's everything. One woman pointed out, I can't even remember where I saw this, a woman pointed out, she said, "That's not Hillary Clinton." And somebody asked her, "How do you know that's not Hillary? It looks like her." But it didn't totally look like her, but she had just been sick, so maybe it was that. The woman said, "Because she's carrying her purse on a different shoulder, and women never, they always keep their purse on the same shoulder." I thought that was interesting.
Exactly. The other thing we talked about is the election fraud, and this is something I believe with all my heart, and I know I can't put my finger on it, I can't prove it and say this is certainly speculation, that I think that they know 20% of the vote can be tied up to election fraud. And again, that's just an estimate, I can't put my finger on it, I can't prove it, but it just goes to show, I think that during the last election, I think that Trump won by a landslide, actually, but he won by a small margin because he had to overcome the 20% election fraud.
Yeah, I could kind of get behind that. I didn't really find it interesting. I just could not get my mind wrapped around the fact that Hillary Clinton got the popular vote. I've always been very suspicious of that. But so the question is, why? Okay, if that's taking place, number one, why didn't it work? Was it just not quite big enough? Like you say, Trump was such a landslide that they couldn't overcome it. But there's got to be evidence of it out there somewhere. Why wouldn't Republicans blow the whistle on it?
Because it seems like they have no fight. It's like, you know, you're talking about Republican or both sides wanting power. And I don't really see it like that. I don't see the Republican and the Democrat Party as two separate entities. I think that there is a force and a power behind both, who actually wins, whether either side wins.
Right.
It's like it doesn't matter if you get a George Bush or a Bill Clinton. They're both different shades of the same gray.
Yeah, and that's where I think if there is this hatred for Donald Trump, it's the fear when he got elected that he would upset the apple cart. Now, the problem for me is I don't see him doing that much upsetting of the apple cart. You know, he hasn't changed any institutions. He's still with the Federal Reserve. He's still fighting the foreign wars. The budgets are still going up. So no special interest has been cut off from their money source. You know, I expected a lot of disruption from Donald Trump, and outside of just the political face of antagonism between the Democrats and Trump, I don't see any systemic changes, you know, that would cause me to believe he is that vastly different than everybody else. Am I missing something there?
I don't understand. Donald Trump is something I don't understand. He's certainly not a hardcore conservative.
Oh, no.
That they try to paint him out to be, and I don't put the rubber stamp approval on everything he does. You know, he makes some tweets that gets mixed construed, like the Charlottesville tweet, but some tweets like yesterday, even as a conservative, where he basically congratulates China for 70 years of communism.
Yeah.
You're like, wait a minute here.
Yeah, it is very, very difficult for me to kind of figure Trump out, to really figure out the whole system. I mean, there are times, I'll say it on air in front of a gajillion Trump supporters, man. You know, there's times where I go, is this guy just a plant? I mean, but I don't think that. I do not think that. I don't think he's an actor doing his thing. But if we didn't have the rhetoric, you know, the face of this rhetoric and this fighting and the Democrats calling him a racist and all that stuff, if you just swept that all away, how drastically different would he be as president? He's doing the China thing, which somebody else, you know, nobody else has done. So there would be that. On what else would he be drastically different? Maybe you could say immigration, yet immigration reform. We had one big raid, and I haven't really heard anything about immigration since that. So maybe on those two issues he is different, but is there anything else that if you just wiped away all of the rhetoric, took away all the tweets, all the charges of racism, all the political theater, is he really a dramatically different president than the other ones we've had before?
You know, and I will say yes, and one specific point is that he can't be controlled. He's not controllable. Either the Republicans can't control him, the Democrats can't control him. He's got his own money. He's not bought. I don't think they've got any kind of a moral leverage against him for something he's done in the past, and I think that part scares them.
Well, I'll disagree with you a little bit there. I believe that John Bolton was made national security advisor because Sheldon Adelson lobbied for that. Sheldon Adelson, people say Trump is his own man and he's a billionaire and he's self-funded and all that stuff, but he's also, Sheldon Adelson gave $25 million to Trump. I can't remember if it was inauguration fund or whatever, but $100 million to the Republicans, and Sheldon Adelson gave us John Bolton. I believe that Saudi Arabia and Israel play very, very big influences on what Donald Trump does. There was nothing about moving the capital of Israel. There's nothing about giving Israel the Golan Heights that has any way, shape, or form anything about America. Sending our troops to protect Saudi Arabian oil fields has nothing to do with America.
Well, I see your points in those areas, but I mean, also look at. They wanted us to get us into a war with Syria, and if Hillary would have got elected, we would have been in a full-blown war with Syria. But, you know, they weren't able to do that, and they're still trying to push us in a war with Iran, and they haven't been able to do that yet. Yeah, like you said, Trump's a mixed bag. I mean, there's some things you can say, hoorah, go ahead, I like that, and then other things you're like, what?
Well, I mean, he's got, you know, I read an article this morning. It was extremely critical of Donald Trump, so I certainly won't recount it here. And I didn't agree with every bit of it, but it was just bringing up, it kind of went through his, you know, his cabinets and stuff. And this is where I say I can't really put my finger on him. I mean, when you've got Wilbur Ross, who was actually worked for the Rothschilds, is his commerce secretary. He's got a guy from Eli Lilly running Health and Human Services, which is, you know, makes huge decisions on pharmaceutical companies. And he's got we've just gone through a guy from Lockheed Martin to a guy from a guy from Boeing was the Defense Department chief. Now we've got a guy from Raytheon that is the Defense Department chief. He's got a ton of lobbyists and big money and globalists. He's got Steve Mnuchin from Goldman Sachs is running the Treasury Department right now. There are a bunch of these kinds of things that his rhetoric would not have led me to believe he would have brought these people to his administration, John Bolton being one of the most obvious examples. But so all of these people are through the administration that were his picks.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. And then now you can also say that about the Second Amendment. Someone posted something about his staunch stance on the Second Amendment, and then you've seen where he's wavered on that.
Yeah. due process, you know, take the guns first, due process second. Now, that was just one kind of throwaway line. I don't really hold him accountable to that. But I don't. I just find him very, very hard to put my finger on him as in his actions. I get his rhetoric. His rhetoric's right on for the vast majority of people. But his actions, you know, the idea that he campaigned on this big, fat, ugly bubble that we had and was telling us, and I just loved it so much. He's telling us all these statistics and everything are bogus. And then he got in office, and within the first month, he sent Sean Spicer out there to tell everybody all the statistics are real now. The job numbers are fantastic, and all of the numbers are right, and it's not a bubble anymore. Now it's Donald Trump's stock market, and the reason it's at record highs is totally because of him. I mean, he's not being genuine on one side or the other. Either during the campaign it wasn't a bubble, so now it's not a bubble, or it was a bubble then, it's still a bubble now. Nothing systemic has changed.
Well, I can't disagree with you, and I don't understand it. I'm kind of perplexed as everyone else. And I guess what we get stuck in this situation is you get, you know, pure evil, or you get a mixture of both.
Yeah,
you either get all bad with the Democrats, or some good and bad with the, you know, with the Republicans.
Our,
I wished I had an answer, but you know, I don't. And I just look at the timetable; it all scares me.
Well,
I don't have any answers. I have a lot of questions, and more time goes on, the more questions I have.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, there is another. We've got a dumpster fire for a political world right now in the United States. And as I say, I think we are full on looking at this impeachment stuff and the media and the fake money and the fake wars. We are full on banana republic at this point. But anyway, thanks, Joe. Appreciate the call, man. I got to run and take a break.
Thank you.
All right, this is Mike Madison Show. We'll be right back. One more second.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, final segment for the day. Look, I cannot put my finger on what Donald Trump is, and that is so foreign to a lot of people, because to a lot of people, he's a savior. He is the man that he says he is. He's fighting the globalist. He's trying to put America first. On some levels, I see that, and on some levels, I do not see that. He's got a lot of globalists in his administration. Now, people will say, well, he's bringing them in close, because you got to get your enemies close to you, and then you take them in a different direction. I mean, I've heard all these things, but in so many things, we're not headed in a different direction. I mean, negative interest rates, when he calls for negative interest rates in this country, he wants more debt for this country. The idea that our military budgets were lagging, you know, we're lacking at $600 billion a year. I mean, that is, I know, I'm smart enough to understand that that is, you know, that is doing the bidding of defense contractors. That is doing the bidding of neocons. And then when I see a budget deal come out that actually gives the Democrats $160 billion more in their, for their own social programs, which we don't have. I mean, it's not like they're battling over some pile of money trying to decide how to divvy it up. It's money we've got to borrow. I mean, so we're going to borrow, and then we pay interest on it. I don't see the systemic change in direction that I'd hoped from a real outsider, and particularly a businessman. I've got a story. I didn't get to it today. I'm probably going to get to it tomorrow. There was a guy at the Pentagon who was tasked with going through. He was known as the toughest budget negotiator at the Pentagon. He's the guy that we all want, right? Even if you believe that we need this huge military budget, at least don't you think that the federal government, with all of its buying power, should at least be negotiating the best deals it can with the defense contractors? I mean, even the most hawkish people I know probably think it's ridiculous if we pay $400 for a toilet seat. And that story's been going on. Nothing's changed on that since the 1980s when they first started talking about the $200 hammers and the $400 toilet seats. We're still paying those dollars. So the Pentagon had this one guy in there that's supposed to be the really, really tough guy. And he was very excited when Donald Trump came in. And then I don't have all the details in front of me. I'll probably flesh this out tomorrow. Ultimately, the guy's gotten fired. He's been fired by people that the Trump administration put into the Pentagon, called this guy in as he was holding the line on a couple of things with defense contractors, not approving things because he thought the costs were out of whack. His supervisor, I think it's someone named Lord. Again, I'm sorry to kind of tiptoe into this. I'll flesh it out better because it's an important story. Came in, called him in, and demoted him. I think he ended up just saying, okay, well, I quit. And this is the, you know, to those of us who do deep research, to those of us who think independently, who are very suspicious of any politician, it's very difficult. I can't get firmly on the Trump train when I see things like that. I say, well, what are they doing? I mean, I know the Defense Department does not need $750 billion to, air quotes here in the studio, keep us safe. And I thought that that would change, and it's not changing. So my enthusiasm for Donald Trump across all areas is very much tempered. I'm very suspicious of politicians. I can't put my finger on Donald Trump. Some things he does I think are great. Some things I just can't figure it out. We'll see what happens. History will judge. That's all the time I got today. Stay tuned for the rest of the WYAB program and see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.